Blog Talk Radio.
Spend some time in the country, we're glad that you dropped by. Spend some time in the country, leave your worries behind. There's lots of fun for everyone, the best in music too. Spend some time in the country, we've been waiting here for you. Here in the country, waiting here for you.
Welcome to In the Country, an Artist Insights exclusive production, bringing you up close and personal interviews with your favorite country music stars. Now here's the host of In the Country, Dave Wood.
Welcome to this Wednesday night, September the 2nd edition of In the Country. I'm your host, Dave Woods, and we are celebrating 6 months of bringing you up close and personal interviews with your favorite country stars. Tonight on the show, you know his big hits, Brothers and Dirt Road Scholar from his self-titled CD. Born in Jaffre, B.C., he grew up with the traditional sounds of country music his dad would play on the radio and in the truck. He's also garnered 4 nominations for this year's CCMA Awards, including 1 for Rising Star. It's my pleasure to welcome Broken Bow Records recording artist Dean Brody to the show. Hey there, Dean.
How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
I'm doing good. Can you hear me well?
Yes, I can hear you very clearly. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we're good. We get weird reception where I'm at right now, so just making
sure
you can hear me. Yeah.
Yep, no, I can hear you perfectly nice, loud, and clear.
Well, good.
Yeah, Dean, I wanted to start off, first of all, congratulating you on the 4 nominations at the CCMAs in September. So we've got Rising Star, Song, and Single, and Video for the song Brothers.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's pretty exciting, man. I mean, you know, when I was a kid, I used to watch the CCMAs. I never dreamt that I'd, you know, get to share the stage and be able to do that this September. It's going to be so cool, man.
Oh, for sure. That must be. And it's very interesting to know your story about how things looked like they weren't going to work out for you at one point in Nashville, and you moved back home to Canada, and then you got a call that changed everything. Can you tell us about that call that day?
In that last year, I'd worked at Walmart unloading trucks, and I was back at the sawmill, and the sawmill wasn't looking good, so I had some buddies that were working at the coal mines in East Kootenays, and I called my producer up, and I was like, man, we can't wait around anymore. We just have to, you know, because in order to be in the U.S., I have to be there legally under a work permit, but you
right.
need a job before you get the work permit, so it's like a catch-22.
Sure.
And I called him up, I was like, man, I can get a good, solid job here, and, you know, I'm about to do that, and We'd gone up to the little town called Elkford and stuff, looked for a place to live and everything. And he's like, man, before you do that, just, you know, you won't believe what happened today. I talked to Keith Stegall, and he wants to sign you to Broken Bow Records. And I was like, man. So as soon as we could, we loaded up the U-Haul van, and we took off back down to Nashville. So the timing couldn't have been better at that moment.
Wow, what a happy ending to that story. And just the beginning, because then Brothers was released now. Were you a bit surprised by that type of song? It's a great song, but just the nature of it, doing so well on the charts?
Yeah, it really was, man. And you know, when I wrote it, it meant a lot to me, but I didn't think it would mean as much to other people. You know, growing up and stuff, my heroes have always been soldiers, and I was taught to have a huge respect for those who fight for freedom. So for me, it's always been close to my heart. So when I wrote the song, I kind of thought it was maybe something that was just really special to me. So to find out that other people could relate to the song and other people really had an emotional response to it was really cool.
Yeah, I was reading a review in Country Weekly about the CD, and they just talked about how sometimes if there's several writers on a song, it can kind of get watered down because now it's appealing to more than one person. So as you described there, it was a personal experience to you, but I think that's what a lot of listeners really like. Otherwise, a song can become generic, and this song was really specific, and I think that's what touched a listener. I know when I heard it, that's the reaction I had to it.
Yeah, man. It was really neat to see the song do well. I mean, you know, I know in the early stages, some people would say, oh, you know, we don't want another war song, and you know, I know the label was a little tentative about releasing this song because, you know, they thought that some people might look at it just like as a war song. But to me, it was always more than that. War is kind of like the backdrop to a story about how brothers, you know, really have a bond, and how family has a bond that
right.
You know, is just so special, and will go so far to help the, you know, those family members out, and ultimately their country.
For sure. Now, going back to the start, Dean, a lot of your influences were great country classic singers, Keith Whitley, Randy Travis, Mark Chestnut, a lot of the big artists from the 80s who did traditional country music, as well as Canada's George Fox. What did you really like about those artists growing up?
It was something I could relate to. I guess, you know, story, you know, they always say that country music, people love country music because of the stories, and I'm one of those people that really relate to the different stories and different subject matter that was in country songs, but also I could sing it, and you know, I'd get teased by my friends and stuff. Like I'd sing a Dwight Yoakam song, and they'd be like, "Man, I hate country music. That's terrible. You sound just like him." And so that's how I knew, well, maybe I've got something here, and then I loved it. I didn't care that they didn't, you know. So.
I had a similar thing. I'm a big country fan growing up and through the 80s, and liking all the stuff like Alabama and Keith Whitley and all those guys you mentioned, Randy Travis. But it was very rare that I found other people who felt that way, so I can sort of understand what you were going through, kind of lonely in your musical taste.
I know. And see, I liked rock and all that other stuff, too. I really
yep.
did. I was into Aerosmith and Guns N' Roses and Jeff Healey Band and
sure.
Tom Cochran, and, you know, I could listen to pretty much everything, but I did love country music too. So, but that's where we would be different, me and my friends.
Yeah, and you pursued it, and it's turned out great. Now, recently, you made your Grand Ole Opry debut back on April 17th. Now, you're talking about dreaming about being an artist growing up and on the CCMA Awards. This also, I'm sure, was a dream. What was that like to be on the stage?
It was surreal, man. And I kind of took a while to get in the circle because it was weird. I was like, I almost felt like I needed somebody to say it was okay to step in there. But I did. I stepped up and sang. And for some reason, like, I was nervous, but at the same time, I was able to really take in what was happening that night. And I enjoyed it, man. It was, you know, my buddy who plays guitar with me, it was our first time ever on that stage. And we just both were just like, it was so surreal for us both. And we were able to enjoy it all. And you know, the crowd was really good that night, so it was really a dream come true.
And did it seem like you had sort of reached a new level with your music, just as far as having that accomplishment?
Yeah, it was awesome, man. Because you know, backstage you were hanging out with Darius Rucker and Sons of the Pioneers were on that night. And they were actually my first record. Remember old Davy Crockett, the
yep.
series? Well, I used
Definitely.
To love that. And as a kid, my first record was a little 45 single of Sons of the Pioneers singing the Ballad of Davy Crockett.
Oh, wow.
And they just happened to be on that night, which was my first night on the Opry. And Little Jimmy Dickens was there, and Ricky Skaggs, so it was an awesome night.
Wow, that must have been, and like you say, a surreal experience growing up and watching it and sort of having that dream. Now, you also, growing up, dreamed about playing pro football. Tell us about that. I know you got a little bit into it. How did that play out for you?
I'd always loved football since I was a kid. I used to watch CFL football. And of course, we lived 4 hours from the nearest city that had a football program. So from a young age, I just started punting because I knew that was one thing I could do that I could practice that I didn't need a whole lot of practice with. To get good at. So, you know, ever since I was a kid, I punted a football. And when I was 19, I did a walk-on tryout, made a football team. You know, being a kicker and stuff, you're not really, you're part of the team, but you spend so much time off by yourself. But it was like, I didn't care. I was just like so happy to be part of the team and under the lights at night and stuff. It was just, it was unbelievable, man. And, you know, that was my first love was football. And of course, country music, just with the songwriting and stuff. And as I got older and matured a bit more and realized that I wouldn't be able to have a career in the CFL or NFL, you know, I just gravitated toward music. And I love music, too. You know, they're both up there for me, just football and music.
That's awesome. And with your music, do you remember one of the first songs or the very first song you wrote, and can you look back on it and say it was very good or sort of a beginning experience?
Well, you know, there's two songs. The first song I ever recorded was called Sometimes You Step in It.
Okay.
And, yeah.
You grew up on a farm, so... Right.
My buddy had a placemat or a welcome mat on his dad's farm, and it said, sometimes you step in it, sometimes you don't. Basically, sometimes life's good, sometimes it sucks.
Right.
And so I was like, man, I'm going to write this song. So I wrote this song, and I recorded it. I sent it to, you know, NSAI, the songwriters?
I sure do, yeah,
Nashville.
And they do critiques, yeah.
They do, and they critique my song. You send it down on the tape,
yep.
They listen to it, and then they critique it, and they record their critique on the tape, send it back to you. Well, anyway, I was so excited the day I got my tape, and it came back in the mail, and I'm like,
right.
This is awesome, I play it. And the guy's like, yeah, Dean. Long silence. He's like,
oh.
You know, they're never, I don't know, you know, they're never going to record a song about manure. I don't know where you're, what you're thinking or where you're from, but you don't want to write songs about manure. And he didn't laugh or do anything, and I remember being really crushed and stuff. But, yeah, that was my first recorded song.
Isn't that interesting? Well, it's a cool hook, and, I mean, Stompin' Tom Connors had a similar kind of themed song at one point, and it's got a country feel to it, but it's funny that he didn't see the humor in it.
Well, it's pretty country, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, but it was bad, but we got to start somewhere. So.
Well, exactly. And so... you've seen your writing improve, I know, obviously, and you've come to this stage now. In that Country Weekly review of your CD, one of the it was a very positive review, and one of the quotes was, "Left to his own devices, Dean doesn't reinvent current music row formulas. He just does them a little smarter and sharper than some do." So that's obviously a great compliment.
Yeah.
How have you seen your writing evolve over the years? Like, is there certain secrets you've learned, or just from doing it more?
Yeah, it's definitely gotten. It's evolved for sure. When I first started, I concentrated more on the melody.
Right.
And then when I moved to Nashville, I realized that it was a very lyrically driven town. And so I've definitely spent a lot more time trying to get better at lyrics and work on the craft a bit more that way. But yeah, it does get better because as you write, you realize what works and what doesn't. And definitely I've been working on lyrics.
Now, do you enjoy the process of co-writing with a couple other people or one other person, or do you prefer the solo stuff do you do, or is it just kind of a different result?
Yeah, it depends. If it's a friend of mine or somebody I'm comfortable with, then I like to co-write, but it's kind of tough just when you get together with somebody and you don't know them and you're supposed to write a song in 2 hours. I've never really done well in that environment, but you know, usually when I write a song, it happens at weird hours. It happens after I watch a movie or a lot of times late at night. So,
right.
Yeah, I seem to write better by myself.
That's cool. Now, one of the songs we're going to play now is Brothers. Now, did you write this yourself?
Yeah.
This was your own tune. Now, you talked about some of the inspiration before. Maybe tell us a bit about the song, and then I'll play it for our listeners.
Okay. I wrote this song about 6 years ago after watching Band of Brothers, and it's a spinoff from Saving Private Ryan, and it had a big impact on me, and a lot of times I write a song, I see a picture in my mind, and then I try and write from there, and the picture I saw this night was a little kid, like, chasing his older brother down the driveway, and, you know, telling him not to leave, and not understanding that he couldn't make his brother stay by giving him things like, you know, washing his car, cleaning his room. And so anyway, I just sat down and wrote the song in just over an hour. And
wow.
Didn't think much of it. And, you know, here we are. It's just amazing to see how the song has got a life of its own.
Definitely. And when it came time to choose the first single and it became Brothers, was that a tough choice as opposed to going with something more up-tempo or something? Or did that sort of seem like, hey, we'll give this one a shot?
We actually had a different song for our first single. It was going to be a love song called Gravity. And as we did the radio tour around the different cities and stuff, like when I do a radio tour, I go in and I introduce myself to the radio station and sing them three or four songs. and Brothers was in there, and so was Gravity. And I'd say, this is my first single, Gravity, and then I'd go on and sing Brothers, and after I'd sing Brothers, everybody would be, you know, kind of silent and stuff, and then the program director of the radio station would be like, man, I don't know, Dean, but maybe that song ought to be your first single, and that happened all over the country, so that's why we ended up going with it.
That's a good sign for sure. And now it's a very big hit, and I'll share it with our listeners now. This is Dean Brody with Brothers here on In the Country.
The house was like a tomb. I was hiding in my room as my brother made his way on down the hall. I didn't want to say goodbye, and I was trying to deny there was a war, that he'd got the call. I watched him from my window walking down the drive, and I ran down the stairway the front door, and I cried, you come back here, and I let him see my tears. I said, I'll give you my rookie of DiMaggio, I'll do anything you want, clean your room or wash your car, I'll do anything so long as you don't go. But he said, this is what brothers are for. Well, I had my heroes, but the one I loved the most taught me how to hunt and swing a bat. And I rode him every night. I said I miss our pillow fights, but lately I just won. Where you're at. Well, sometimes freedom makes it hard to live, but it takes things from you that you don't want to give. I said, you come back here, I miss you being near, laughing fish down in the maple grove. Yeah, I'll do anything you want. Someone I could call, and just maybe they would let you come back home. But he wrote, this is what brothers are for. I may never have to face the anger of those guns, or lie cold and wounded in my blood, or know the and what it must have cost for him to love me that much. Well, it had been 2 years, and I held back my tears when I saw him in that wheelchair on the shore. And as I ran and held him tight, when he looked me in the eye, he said, I'm sorry that you have to push me home. And I said, hey, this is what brothers are for.
That's the big hit single for Dean Brody from his self-titled CD, and that song is up for a bunch of awards at this year's CCMAs. The song is called Brothers. We're speaking with Dean Brody on the line. Now, Dean, you grew up on a farm near the Canadian Rocky Mountains, and I know you've got a great love for that area, and it's beautiful. I was checking out some of the video on it on your website. What was that like growing up in that environment?
It was awesome, man. It was just, of course, in the wintertime, lots of hockey. We played a lot of hockey, man. We'd come home And we'd have a snack, and then we'd go clean off the pond and go play some hockey, and then go in for dinner, and go back out and put a treble light up on the fence post, and we'd play till, you know, it's time for bed. And in the summertime, you know, lots of fishing and tubing down the creek, building forts, underground forts, forts and trees. And we just didn't watch a whole lot of TV, man. We had like two channels. We had CBC.
Yep.
And then the local channel that was really fuzzy. And so, yeah, we spent almost our entire lives growing up outside.
Wow. So you've got that great love of the outdoors for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you were asked to do an album of cover songs of some of the great classic singers out there, George Jones, Randy Travis, all those great, who would you like to do an album of covers?
Oh, man.
And there's a lot to choose from.
Yeah, and the trouble with that is that, like, I have such a huge respect for, I'd love to do, like, Randy Travis.
Right.
But, I mean, he's such an amazing singer. He's got such a unique tone that it would be just really tough to cover his stuff. But it'd be either Randy Travis or Dwight Yoakam.
Ah, nice. Perfect. Yeah, two great artists and two unique styles to each of them as well.
Yeah, definitely. Dwight's a lot different than Randy.
Yeah.
And but they're both just really amazing.
That's very cool. Now, I found it interesting, Dean, reading in your bio, back in 2003, you did something sort of daring. I suppose you could call it daring or just very creative. You sent 25 packages of your songs to Nashville just to see what would happen, and I guess you weren't sure if it would work or not, and you actually got a call from Sony, and they liked what they heard.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Not supposed to happen. Anybody in the business understands that. These people, these A&R people that work for record labels have desks, and their desks are full of stuff that's solicited, never mind the unsolicited stuff.
Right.
And, yeah, I sent 25 packages down like you're never supposed to do, and and a guy from, the senior A&R guy from Sony called me up and was like, man, Dina, I'm sorry, I've been on vacation for 2 weeks, but, you know, you're welcome to come down and sing for me. I don't know what I can do for you, but come on down and sing for me, and you know, we'll take it from there. And yeah, that was the start. That's, you know, how it got here. Basically, that's how it started.
So I guess it just goes to show you that sometimes rules are made to be broken, and you know, you can hear these things that you're not supposed to do, but sometimes they can work.
Yeah, and you know, I know a lot of these guys just chuck everything in the garbage because they have to. They get so much stuff, and they're bombarded with stuff, especially somebody in a senior position. So for this guy to actually take the time and then to call me back, I mean, that meant a lot and still does.
Yeah, for sure. And another great opportunity you had back in 2004, you were involved with George Canyon's song, co-writing it, Good Day to Ride, and George had just done great off of Nashville Star, and that song really went up the charts. How did that feel, hearing one of your songs that you had co-written on the radio?
Yeah, that was something else, man. Because it's so different when you actually hear it on the radio.
Yes.
Because for years growing up, you know, there's something magical about the radio because it's local. It connects you to, you feel like it's connecting you to all the different people that are around your area.
Mm-hmm.
Something in common, you know.
Yep.
It gives you a sense of community. So to actually hear your own song coming over the radio was a neat moment.
I'll bet. Almost another surreal moment to hear it.
Yeah, definitely.
I know when I was talking to Victoria Banks on the show, she was talking about hearing, I believe it was Saints and Angels that she had written for Sarah Evans, and a policeman pulled her over because she was speeding, you know, so caught up in the song and the excitement.
Oh, man, that would just be something else. And I think there's a difference, too, like between when you hear yourself on the radio and then hear somebody else singing your song.
Right.
They're both really special moments. I don't know why, but they're, to me, they're equal.
Sure.
Yeah,
just knowing you were involved, you created that, and you've heard the song in the demo stage and leading up to it, and now, you know, it's being heard by the people listening.
Yeah, you bet.
That's very cool. Now, what about videos? You've done a couple of them now, a great one for Brothers and the new one for Dirt Road Scholar, and that single is doing great. Do you feel pretty comfortable doing a bit of acting or performing in front of the camera?
No. I don't. I'm getting better. I'm getting more comfortable, but Brothers was you know, my first time ever with a camera in front of me and stuff. So Yeah, it's a steep learning curve for me. I had a lot more fun the second video just because I was a little more relaxed and but it's just weird, you know. You get there on the set and there's all these people and they've got lights and they've got cameras and things are like moving around you and stuff, and they've got boom cameras moving up and down, and if you're not used to it, it really does take you by surprise.
I'll bet. And the thing is, you've got to act natural, which that's a hard thing to do.
Hard. It is hard.
So are you pretty happy with the results of the videos, and can you watch them when they come on CMT, or is it uncomfortable for you to see yourself on the screen?
It's okay.
It's
you get used to it, you know. It's kind of just like when you first start recording, the first time you hear your voice, you're like, oh, no, I didn't think I sounded like that. But as time goes by, you just get used to it, so it doesn't shock you as much.
What about female country artists who are in the business, either Canadian or in the States, as far as potential duet partners? If you could do a great, either an up-tempo song or a love song, what artist would you like to do that with?
I think probably, you know, of course, Alison Krauss or Rhonda Vincent. And I was lucky enough to have Rhonda come sing on a song off this last record. A girl named Mindy Smith. She's got just a real cool voice, almost a Celtic kind of a tone to it. But she's got records coming out of Nashville.
Right.
Leanne Womack. I mean, I'm a big fan of hers.
Yeah, she's awesome.
Yeah, there's a lot of great singers out there.
And what about on the show CMT Crossroads, sort of a similar type of thing? Obviously on there it's a combination of a country artist and then a pop or somebody from another genre teaming up to do each other's songs and perform together. If you were approached for that show, is there an artist you can think of that you would like to share the stage with?
Well, I think you two would be cool. I know we have nothing in common musical styles, I don't think, but Mads love their stuff, and also, you know, I think Steven Tyler from Aerosmith is I know he sings crazy, but he's fearless when it comes to what he does and what he tries vocally.
For sure.
And I think that'd be a lot of fun, man.
That'd be a cool combination.
It'd be different, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it sure would. Well, they've had Taylor Swift and Def Leppard, so.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
There's a contrast right there.
Well, Hank Jr., I think, did a Crossroads with Steven Tyler. I saw them on some special together, and they were singing, so
yeah, he may have. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, those combinations, and he's done stuff with Kid Rock as well, so those combinations definitely can work. Sometimes you just don't know until you try it.
Yeah.
I want to talk about your next song that I'm going to play now. It's the current single, a real sort of up-tempo fun song called Dirt Road Scholar. Maybe tell us the writers on this and the story behind the song, Dean.
Okay. I was watching Country Fried Home Videos one night with my wife. I don't know if you're familiar with it or not. It's Bill Engvall.
Okay,
he's
I'm familiar.
The guy who,
yeah, here's your sign.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
He's got like America's Funniest Home Videos, but it's like a redneck version.
Oh, okay.
And,
I haven't seen that.
Yeah, it's cool. It's funny stuff. And he had this guy that's doing something in the mud. And, of course, after each clip, he has like a sign that pops up. And this one said Dirt Road Scholar.
Oh, wow.
And it kind of play on words, and I was like, man, that's kind of cool. And so I went and Googled it and see if there anybody had written it, and it looked like nobody had. So I was like, well, you know, I was going to try and write this song. And this was another one of those songs that came really fast. And for me, it usually takes me a long time to write a song. So when they come out fast like this, it's unique. And it came out, man. It came out in like half an hour. So
wow.
That's the story behind that one.
It's a cool song, and what an interesting source of inspiration, because, I mean, it sounds like a country title. It just fits perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, that the whole play on words, and I think a lot of us can relate to, you know, being proud of our education, being raised in the country, and I think a lot of us don't really understand the whole, Ivy League kind of education and that whole lifestyle. So it's really cool. It hits a chord with people.
And I love the line in there about, I pass the bar. What is it? I pass the bar anytime I'm not thirsty.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool.
That's a very cool line in there.
You can relate to that?
Yeah. Sort of.
Kind of. Okay.
Definitely. But I think it's a really great line. It's a good play on the hook there, but no, there's some more awesome lines in it, and we'll check it out now, Dean. This is Dean Brody from his self-titled CD. This is the current single, Dirt Road Scholar, here on In the Country.
My buddy Jake said, hey, it's spring break, so I picked him up in my truck. We rolled into town and there we found a cantina and sorority bus. I started trading my lines with a tall blonde-haired Kappa Delta. She said, boy, what school are you from? Said, I'd be happy to tell you. I'm from the dirt road porch, and I believe in campfires, guitars, and river swings. Got the good life down, and if you hang around, we could get a little dust on that call. 'Cause I'm a genuine, certified dirt road scholar. Graduated the top of the school of hard knocks, pass the bar anytime I ain't thirsty. And our country club's exclusive tuna, but a fishing pole will come in handy. Now you ain't really lived, you get chill bumps from a coyote cry. Or fine dine till you cooked on a mountain, lighting bugs with candlelight. Fires, guitars, and river swings. Got the good life down, and if you hang around, we could get a little dust on that call. 'Cause I'm a genuine, certified dirt road scholar. Fires, guitars, and river swings. Got the good life down, and if you hang around, we could get a little dust on that call. I'm a genuine alumni certified. Give you a country time, love to treat you right. Wrapped in a blanket tie, sing it a sleeping night. Dirt road scholar.
And there's Dean Brody with Dirt Roads Scholar here on In the Country, and we're speaking with Dean. And the new CD out, the self-titled CD, Dean, can you tell us a bit about it? We've heard a couple of the songs from it. What's the overall feel like on the CD?
It's really country, and that's, I guess, what a lot of people have been saying about it. It's country and using traditional lyrics, but we tried to keep it like a modern production. So there's some rocking songs on it, and there's some like real, you know, ballads, and there's even a song called Up on the Moon on there that's kind of a tear in your beer kind of song, and we just try and cover a bunch. We got a bluegrass song on there called This Old Raft, and we just try and change it up a little bit too, so every song is a little bit different.
And at the CCMAs coming up in September, of course, you've got four nominations, including Rising Star. Are you performing there at all?
I think I am. I'm not quite sure about the schedule yet. But, yeah, definitely. I heard we might actually be doing something with Jan Arden.
Wow.
Not sure about the details, but, yeah, definitely cool. Some stuff going on.
That sounds awesome. Yeah, that's coming up in September, and I think it's September 12th or 13th on CBC. So that is that's awesome. That's coming up. And what about advice for anyone out there, Dean, who might be thinking about career in music, either songwriting or singing or both? And what advice to get them going?
I asked the same question years ago. I asked Paul Overstreet that question, and he was like, man, if you're really serious about it, you need to move to Nashville. He's like, because there's, you know, a lot of like-minded people there. And so I did, and it's really true. I mean, if you want to start networking and working with people who understand what you're doing and get better at songwriting, it's a really creative place to be. But it's tough, you know, especially if you're from Canada and stuff, is trying to figure that whole catch-22 out of getting a job without living in Nashville. It's tough. You kind of have to, it's just a tough deal, because to legally be down there with a P2 visa,
right,
you have to have a job. So, but in order to get a job, you kind of need to solicit people. So, yeah, but Nashville is definitely the place to be if you really want to take it as far as you can.
That sounds great, Dean. I want to thank you for your time. First, before we wrap things up, can you tell us where we can find you on the internet? I know you've got a MySpace as well as another site.
Yeah, you can go to MySpace, and it's under Dean Brody. I got Facebook. You can go there too, and you know, I try and keep it up to date as I can. I'm not really like technical like some people are. I'm trying to get better, but it's tough,
right.
You know.
Yeah.
Never, you know. Like I said, we had two channels growing up, and was never into the whole technological, you know, frenzy, I guess. But yeah, just go deanbrody.com too. That's my website. You can check
awesome stuff
out there, like tour dates and all that.
And your CD is available on iTunes.
It is, yeah, you bet. And it's in,
cool.
I think it's in HMV and Walmart and stuff like that too.
Oh, perfect. Well, Dean, I want to thank you very much for your time today and sharing your music with us. It's been a real pleasure, and I wish you all the best with those nominations at the CCMAs.
Yeah, thank you so much, man. I appreciate you having me on and letting me share my story a bit.
Thank you. It's been great, and I hope to talk to you again in the future.
All right. Sounds good.
Thanks, Dean. My guest today has been country artist Dean Brody. Be sure to buy a copy of his self-titled CD. We heard a couple of songs from it, Brothers and Dirt Road Scholar. It is a great CD to listen to. I'm Dave Woods. In the Country is an Artist Insights exclusive production.
Spend some time in the country. We're glad that you dropped by. Spend some time in the country. Leave your worries.